Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a loaded Tuesday live in L.A. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're live on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now. The Herd hierarchy, I don't even think it's arguable now. The 10 best teams in the NFL, I think you'll be shocked how low I have one. And I have come to a conclusion with a team that's been under the radar all year, and I think now they need to be in the discussion for the Super Bowl. Herd hierarchy in 1 hour. And Joy Taylor joining me. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. That was an awesome game last night.
It was incredible.
Kirk Cousins still...
He's
just so close.
Didn't have Adam Thielen. Let's start with this. I said this yesterday on the show, before the game. I'm going to say it again today, and I said it last week. Takes a while in the NFL. Got to get past Thanksgiving to figure out, okay, who's got it and who doesn't, who's faking, who's posing, who's a pretender. I think the Baltimore Ravens and Seattle Seahawks this morning, yesterday, and last week feels like the Super Bowl to me. It feels like the Super Bowl to me. And I think Baltimore and the Seattle Seahawks have a ton in common. They both have A-plus Super Bowl-winning head coaches. They both have, and this is big in 2019, dynamic quarterbacks who sometimes can do stuff that a defense can't prepare for. They both are dominating running games. Seattle last night ran for 220 yards against that Viking defense. They can take the ball away from a Patrick Mahomes, from an Aaron Rodgers. And they're also very good defenses that added a piece. Marcus Peters for Baltimore solved a problem. Jadeveon Clowney, Quadri Diggs, the safety from the Lions. Everybody else has a hole. Everybody else has a hole. The Saints and the Patriots have 40-year-old quarterbacks that aren't athletically dynamic that you can scheme against and there's nothing they can do. And the Saints and Patriots do not have over-the-top weapons. Texas, I don't trust their coach. Green Bay, finesse, I don't trust their coach. Minnesota, I don't trust Kirk Cousins. And Kansas City, like them a lot, but don't trust their defense. That leaves San Francisco. Well, I've seen San Francisco in the last month take on Seattle and Baltimore, and they lost to both because Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson simply made plays that even with a great coaching staff with the Niners and a great defense, there's nothing they can do. Lamar and Russell just do stuff you can't defend. And so it feels like Seattle and Baltimore to me are my favorite for the Super Bowl. And they also did something, and I'm going to use this term multiple times today. They identified their problems. This is very big in relationships. It's good in business. It's really big in football teams. Baltimore had a problem. They started the year 2-2. They lost to Cleveland at home. And they identified a problem. We want to be more aggressive on defense, but we're not good enough at corner. And they went to the Rams and got Marcus Peters. Baltimore identified a problem. We want to play this way, but we can't until we get an elite corner who can block out the sun on an opponent's best receiver. And Seattle identified a problem. They lost at home to Baltimore. They lost at home to the Saints. And they're like, we got to be more physical and faster on defense. So they get Quadri Diggs from the Lions, who's a small but ferocious hitter. Jadeveon Clowney takes a while to get into the system. They add Josh Gordon, an over-the-top piece offensively. And now both Seattle and Baltimore, who were good in September and October, but not special, to me are the two best teams in the NFL. Excellent head coaches. You may have the two Coach of the Year candidates, the two MVP candidates, two of the best running games, two of the most physical teams. And again, they both identified a problem. Excellent general manager said, we're not quite there. We want to play with a little more physicality and aggressiveness defensively. Seattle goes and gets a safety. Baltimore goes and gets a corner, and they've ramped it up. I don't think Baltimore and Seattle have the best rosters in the league. I think Minnesota still probably does. But this is what matters in the NFL. This is something I've talked a lot about in the NFL. Structure wins. GMs win Super Bowls. Coaches win Super Bowls. And in 2019, dynamic quarterbacks, I think Baltimore and Seattle will meet in the Super Bowl. And let me segue then to Cleveland. Freddie Kitchens yesterday, I said this yesterday too, he's fired. It's just not official yet. And he came out yesterday and said, I'm not bothered by it. I'm not fearful of my job. And that's great, but he's out of work, just not officially yet. And I think you could certainly make the argument you have to fire Freddie Kitchens because you have to save Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield is not as good as everybody thinks, but is he really this bad? He was your number one pick. You got to fire Freddie Kitchens, right, to save your quarterback. Right now, Baker Mayfield is last in completion percentage in the NFL, last in passer rating, has an egregious amount of wide receivers. And it should be noted, I am not a fan of Baker Mayfield, but he's got to be better than this, right? He is currently the worst statistical quarterback in the league. And but here's what gives me pause. It's a Freddie Kitchens issue, right? I just talked about how Baltimore and Seattle identified their problem. And so the feeling in Cleveland is, hey, we know what the problem is. It's Freddie Kitchens. Let's get him out of here. Or is the problem Baker Mayfield? I'm going to show you a stat. Last year, Cleveland had a very easy schedule at the end of the year. And Baker Mayfield, playing the Bengals twice, was able to mask his mediocrity through elevating his stats against the Bengals in two games. This year, similarly, Baker Mayfield's got an easier schedule facing backup quarterbacks late, and it's going to mask or at least elevate atrocious numbers. Here's the concern this morning. Is it a Freddie problem or a Baker problem? I want you to think about this. Baker Mayfield has, outside of maybe Minnesota, the best weapons in the NFL at running back and wide receiver. And we don't like Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins is putting up MVP numbers without Adam Thielen. Baker Mayfield has the best wide receiver tandem in the league, arguably, and the best running back tandem in the league. And his numbers are at the bottom. We have bailed on Mitch Trubisky, who doesn't have nearly these weapons, and who's won a division. And we've bailed on Trubisky. We don't like Kirk Cousins. And he's got MVP-level numbers. Is the problem Freddie Kitchens or is it Baker Mayfield? Because with outstanding weapons and with three different coaches, it's not just a Freddie Kitchens issue. He had Hugh Jackson. He had Greg Williams. Here's Baker Mayfield's career against winning teams. Folks, this is not a starting quarterback in the league. 4-11, 59% completion percentage, 20 TDs, 23 picks, and a passer rating of 75. Cocky, small, marginally athletic, increasingly erratic with his accuracy. Look around the league to the next stars, look and play like Baker Mayfield. Identifying your problems in a relationship, a business, or a sports team are crucial. Baltimore identified theirs in September, went to the Rams and got Marcus Peters. The Seahawks identified theirs. We're not ferocious enough. Pass rush, Clowney. We need a big hitter in the back end. They went to the Lions. And another over-the-top receiver, Josh Gordon. What's Cleveland's problem? Is it a Freddie Kitchens issue? Or is it a Baker Mayfield issue? I don't want to hear about Sam Darnold. He doesn't have elite weapons. He doesn't. You're talking about the Minnesota Vikings and the Cleveland Browns have the best perimeter and running back weapons in the National Football League. You don't like Kirk Cousins, and he's putting up MVP numbers without Adam Thielen. You don't like Trubisky. He's higher rated and won a division. Baker, so far with three coaches and great weapons, is an absolute disaster. Are we sure the problem's Freddie Kitchens?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Optimism's important. Cynical people, it can be heavy to be around. it's nice to be around optimistic people. They kind of burrow their way through problems. Now, there are times when people can be so optimistic, they're delusional, or it's corny, or it's like, you know, you have to see there are problems lying ahead in the weeds. But optimism's a real thing. Jerry Jones, we had a guy on last week who's covered Jerry for 30 years, and he said Jerry's the most optimistic guy he's ever met. He's a constant salesman. But you do get to a point where you're like, Jerry, come on, get a hold of yourself. So Jerry's team is 6-6, the Cowboys. And yesterday on Dallas Radio, he is very optimistic going forward.
I look at where we are with our skill set and look at other teams where they are with theirs. And there's nothing that in my mind that jumps out at me that we can't be playing well enough to take it to the house. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I see it.
If you're a Cowboy fan and you watched last night, the Vikings and the Seahawks are NFC wild card teams. Okay, those are the wild card teams before last night. Okay, forget Seattle. Let's just take Minnesota, who's already dominated Dallas. They're playing without Adam Thielen, a Pro Bowl-level receiver. Dalvin Cook got hurt in the third quarter, didn't return. They got a very unlucky interception on the road. Stephon Diggs off his game. And, oh, yeah, you're playing in arguably the loudest stadium in the NFL, where Russell Wilson on Monday Night Football is 9-2. And all that going against them. Minnesota's in that game late, looking to tie. Forget Seattle. I can watch losing teams and think, that's impressive. Minnesota last night is impressive. Minnesota's going to finish behind Green Bay. Minnesota's better than Green Bay. They're better coached than Green Bay. They're faster than Green Bay. They're more physical than Green Bay. They have a more consistent running game than Green Bay. They got more playmakers all over the field, both sides of the ball, than Green Bay. Sometimes you don't play as well early. Seattle, you know, didn't play well early. San Francisco has the division lead. Now Seattle's catching up. Minnesota couldn't find itself. Kirk Cousins struggling. Minnesota, forget Seattle. When you watched that game last night as a Cowboy fan, that had to be somewhat demoralizing. I mean, watching the way San Francisco at times pushed around Baltimore this weekend had to be demoralizing if you're a Cowboy fan. Pete Carroll summed it up after last night's game. That was a playoff game. Those are playoff Super Bowl level rosters.
It felt like a championship game in the stadium. Fans were just extraordinarily good tonight, and it was just felt as good as we could ever remember it in terms of their energy and juice, and it just makes it so much fun to be part of this whole thing, and so thrilled to see that came to life and they hung with us.
There are 2 to 3 stadiums in this league: Lambeau, Seattle at home, and the Saints, where the games feel different. That had an NFC championship quality to it last night. And I know Jerry Jones is optimistic, but at 6-6, Dallas could be hosting one of those two teams eventually, and it doesn't feel close. It just doesn't. The coaching doesn't feel close. The efficiency, the physicality, the playmaking quarterbacks, it just doesn't feel close.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Here we go. I spent a lot of time on this. I think it's becoming very clear. You know, the elite, the good, the special, and the just good and not special team. So here we go, our Herd hierarchy on a Tuesday.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin. Number 10.
Green Bay Packers. I'm not as high on Green Bay as everybody else. I think there's a disturbing number here about Green Bay. 140 yards per game less on the road this season. That's the worst in the NFL. That feels like a little bit of finesse and a little bit like coaching. They're 28th in total defense, 25th in total defense. I've said this before. When you get to December, this is where the best staffs and head coaches take over. I don't know if Matt LaFleur is an elite head coach, but I know they don't play well uncomfortably. They're not as good on the road. They're not as good against physical teams. Green Bay at 10.
Number 9.
Buffalo. This is a great story. It's not a Super Bowl winning team. It's a great story. They know what they are. They know what they're not. They've beaten a playoff team. Dallas, they've lost to one New England. But it's about coaching, defense, and like Baltimore, they figured out, here's where a quarterback does very well. We're going to let our quarterback do that. They are number three in total defense, number three in scoring defense. They force you into field goals. I think the ceiling is fairly obvious and low on the offensive side, but I do believe they're better than the Packers today because I think they know exactly what they are and what they're not, and Green Bay's got an identity issue.
Number eight.
New England. They're 22nd in the NFL in the red zone. That is a where's Gronk problem. They're just not as good getting touchdowns when they get close. They settle for field goals, and you can't settle for field goals against Kansas City and Baltimore going forward. They've been held to 22 points or less in four games. In fact, their last four. So people have film on it. They know there's no deep threat. They're incredibly coached and very resourceful. Love their special teams and defense, but limitations over the top. New England at eight.
Number seven.
Houston's at seven. Houston is the current state of football in America. There's so many things I don't like, but they're so dynamic at quarterback and so gifted at wide receiver, I put them a slot ahead of the Patriots. I mean, New England had a lot of statistical edges over Houston, but Houston went over the top, did some flag football fun, and beat New England. I think they're too Deshaun Watson dependent, but they have elite perimeter talent that makes up for coaching snafus and some defensive line limitations. I have Houston at seven.
Number six.
Minnesota. I thought last night was a pretty good loss. Adam Thielen will return. Delvin Cook, usually you have him available in the fourth quarter. They're sixth in rushing, fourth in yards per play. They're explosive. They can go over the top. Their tight ends are good. I think it's the most complete roster in the NFL. I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, but he is efficient. I think Mike Zimmer may be. Vegas thinks he's the most underrated coach in the NFL. There's a lot they do that I like. Adam Thielen returning only helps. I have Minnesota. Last night, a good loss at six.
Number five.
New Orleans. I think they're a lot closer to the New England of the NFC. They can't beat you over the top. They have an excellent 40-year-old quarterback who's not going to beat you with dynamic athletic ability, but is going to, it's death by a thousand cuts. I think they have a better pass rush than New England, but I do believe they're the Patriots of the NFC. They're smart, they're resourceful, they lack a pop over the top, and I think that will be their undoing this weekend against the Niners Saints at five.
Number four.
Kansas City, watch out, here they come. They've had O-line issues. They've had Patrick Mahomes' hurt issues. They've had wide receiver injuries. Oh, now they're the band's back this weekend, and they're healthy. And despite all those issues, they are fourth in total offense. They took the Raiders out of that game in about 5 minutes. They have not lost by more than 7 points all year, despite a series of injuries to crucial pieces on offense. We know they've got the head coach. I got Kansas City at four. Here they come.
Number three.
San Francisco. You know, it's funny. We all think it's a defensive line story. You know what this team really is? It's a power running football team. Kyle Shanahan's the son of Mike Shanahan. It wasn't an Elway story. Elway didn't win until he got Terrell Davis, and they ran the football and owned the clock. San Francisco's a power-running football team. And when they got their fullback and their offensive line is healthy, that's why they can give a Baltimore trouble. They can play some keep away. They're second in rushing in the NFL. We know their defense is good. We know that Shanahan's great. But what I like about them is the weather's going to get crappy in December and January, and San Francisco can go on the road, and they can just run the football and not rely on the defensive line to be special for 35 minutes, not rely on Jimmy Garoppolo. I like how they're built, San Francisco, at number three.
Number two.
I like Seattle right now as the representative in the Super Bowl from the NFC. I said it yesterday, and I said it last week. Their roster's good. It's not special. But their coach, A+, their quarterback, A+, their general manager, John Snyder, made nice moves. Josh Gordon, Quadri Diggs, Jadeveon Clowney. This is a team that kind of had to find their identity. They wanted to play a certain way. Pete Carroll teams are generally very good in December and January. They lead the NFC in takeaways. It's not just because of talent. They don't have the talent of some of those NFC teams like New Orleans, Minnesota on defense, but they lead the NFC in takeaways. They're first in the two-minute offense, so they got the special sauce at quarterback with Russell Wilson, Seattle at two.
Number one.
I've had them there for about a month, Baltimore. I think they are the NFL's playing catch-up in the middle of a season. These massive fixtures at tight end. Lamar Jackson, excellent coach. They had a problem. They were 2-2 to start. They solved a problem. Let's go get Marcus Peters. Allow us to be more aggressive defensively. I think the league's playing catch-up to him. I think San Francisco did what very few teams can do. It's not like San Francisco gave people a recipe. San Francisco's just got a lot of good players, and so they can go toe-to-toe with Baltimore because they have good players. I don't think anybody else is going to duplicate what San Francisco did against Baltimore. I think the Ravens are the best team in the NFL, and there's my herd hierarchy.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's me. That's the show. Brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network. Coming up on this show, Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. How the hell are they 10-2? I'll tell you. The Minnesota Vikings, they're not done. Ravens, 49ers, game of the year. Patriots, Chiefs, trending in opposite directions. NFC East, why does it suck so much? I'll talk about it all. 3 and Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
A lot of interesting things to talk about. The Freddie Kitchens, the Mike Tomlin stories. Russell Wilson's one of my favorite players of all time, and Trent Dilfer was a Seahawk and loves Russ. Trent, my buddy, joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network in Nashville. I think we both have an admiration for not only his gifts, but the guy. And, you know, some people will be like, he's a little corny, he's a little too overly optimistic. But let's face it, this is a tough sport. Cynicism can wear you. And I love Aaron Rodgers, but cynicism doesn't play in a lot of locker rooms. I'm listening to Russell Wilson mic'd up last night, and I think it works. I think this eternally optimistic, it gets you through tough patches. What did you see watching him last night?
I become more and more impressed every single time I watch him. I hear him speak. I'm around him. I see what he's endured as a Seahawk to this point of his career, what he's overcome. I couldn't respect a guy in the NFL more than I respect Russell Wilson. I think it's disheartening at times, Colin, to see people that had an opinion of him coming out of college. Maybe they didn't see him as being this great as a pro, and yet they still don't give him his due because they're still trying to justify their opinions of him coming out of college. Listen, I had him in the third round. This is when I did this at ESPN and put grades on guys. I had him in the third round, and I love that I'm wrong. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't root for a guy more, and I couldn't be more impressed with a player in this league than I am with Russell Wilson.
By the way, Lamar Jackson, I said, I think he's going to work in this league, but I think he is a project more than a prospect. I said that for Josh Allen, and Josh Allen and Lamar are winning more than Baker, Sam Darnold, and Josh Rosen. You know, Lamar Jackson, to me, I don't remember your opinion. He was too brilliant not to. I mean, I always had an opinion on running quarterbacks. They all work. They just don't last very long. What do you make of Lamar Jackson?
I was very bullish on him coming out, but I too thought it was going to take a year or two of refinement. Here's a guy that was obviously one of the great players in college football, could really throw a football, just wasn't consistent at the level you thought he would need to be as effective in the NFL as he was in college. But to the Ravens' credit, they've really done a good job retooling him a little bit, getting him with a stronger foundation as a passer. I think that's led to consistency. And the one thing I said about him coming out is when you have a unique trait, and Josh Allen fits in this too with power. His unique trait is power. When you have a unique trait, meaning a 1% trait, nobody else has it basically except you. Lamar Jackson has that with twitch. And you're going to be successful if your coaches know how to utilize that 1%. And what he's done is he's taken that unique trait, made that his calling card, but also really enhanced the rest of his game that's allowed him to play with a much higher level of consistency early on than many of us thought he could.
Yeah, I just love him as a kid. He's coachable. Yeah. I loved in the offseason. He said, you know what? People said I was too skinny, so I put on weight, and they said I couldn't throw, so I worked on it. And I'm like, I love that. And by the way, a little bit of the opposite of that is Baker Mayfield. Now, we all want to blame Freddie Kitchens, but against winning teams, he's had now excellent weapons. This will be his third head coach, potentially his fourth. He's not good. He's completing 59% of his throws. Is it a Freddie Kitchens issue or a Baker issue?
I think it's a both issue. I think we've said this all year long with Freddie Kitchens. I think he lacks the sophistication, gravitas maybe that it takes to be a high-level NFL coach. I think many times coaches forget they're bigger than just a coach in the NFL. If you're a head coach, you're the CEO, you're the corporate leader, you're the face of the franchise, all your your persona matters. Every decision you make in the public eye matters. You set the tone for your franchise and your community and nationwide. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens has that understanding. I think Baker, in the same breath, he needs a strong hand on him. He needs a guy that's been around gunslinger mentality guys, who's been around what you would call brand type quarterbacks, and harness them in and show them wisdom and understanding into this position. I think of Mike Holmgren with Brett Favre. I think of Norv Turner. I think of some of the great quarterback guys out there that have done this before. I think Baker needs a guy like that to have a chance.
What do you make? So Mike Tomlin, I've been critical of him. I've said, boy, there's a lot of emotion. He's like Pete Carroll. Sometimes I love him and he drives me nuts. But boy, I'll tell you, he didn't have a center, his receiver, his running back. He's on his fourth-string quarterback. You can judge a man in crisis. Pittsburgh's been a red alarm crisis for like 2 months. I got to be honest. I think Tomlin may be the coach of the year. Am I wrong?
I stole that line from you. Excuse me. I stole that line from you the other day. You can judge a man in crisis, talking about Mike Tomlin. I mean, think about what they've gone through in the last calendar year. Now, some of it you could say was addition by subtraction, but much of it isn't. I mean, you lose all the pieces you're talking about. It kind of is counterintuitive to this argument in the NFL that's about the Willies and Joes. I think you can use Mike Tomlin as an example that it might be about the X's and O's and about culture and about identity and about grit and staying true to who you are as a franchise. I don't know how they've done it. I was going through it in my head. I can't remember a time where a team has lost this many people, this much human capital in the football space, including the quarterback, and has had this type of success. I do think you have to tip your hat to Mike Tomlin, whether you like him or not, and say that nobody's done a better job coaching his football team than him.
A Pro Bowler and won a Super Bowl. You played with five teams. I want you to go back in your career. Players now with social media, they can read about Jason Garrett. They hear the rumors about Jason Garrett. Even in your day, you'd hear about stuff. Talk radio was around, newspaper. So when that stuff's starting, you're losing. And you got talent. And it's all over social media. Coach is going to get fired. Have you been in that situation? Do players start to bail on the coach if you're 500? Are we getting to that situation where Jason could lose six or seven key guys in the locker room?
Unfortunately, yes. And you just nailed it. Whether the narrative is true or not, and I'm personally not on the blame Jason Garrett bandwagon. I think he has all the power but no control. And a lot of their faults are not necessarily coaching faults. They're player execution issues. However, when you're a player in the NFL and you're on your phone and you're seeing social media and you're watching your show and ESPN and NFL Network and you're hearing everybody on this narrative of, oh, it's a coaching issue. Oh, it's a leadership issue. Oh, it's a head coaching issue. You go, wait a second. If they're blaming him, guess who they're not blaming? They're not blaming me. And if you're a player, which you don't want to be as blamed, you don't want to go down with the ship. You have a big, giant contract that you want to make sure you see every penny of. You have a national reputation that you don't want tarnished. And if somebody else is going to take that fall for you, most players in NFL locker rooms are going to say, oh, man, yeah, you guys are right. That is the head coach's fault. Guess where else it goes? It goes to the assistant coaches. Because right now, if Jason's taking all the heat, guess who's not? His assistants. And as they get calls throughout the week, you know what they're saying? Yeah, this might be Jason's fault. Yeah, we've done a really good job with some things. But, yeah, we really lack some leadership stuff going on right now. Look at our owner even called him out. And that is the NFL way, and that is why it's so refreshing not to be part of it anymore. Because what happens is when it hits the fan, the NFL model is to let it hit somebody else in the face instead of you. And that's what's going on in Dallas right now.
You know, it's a great point. By the way, when I love Tom Brady and I respect him, but as people get older and wealthier and more successful, they can be rigid, and they have a system that works, and they're harder to coach. Russell Wilson, every receiver works with him. Everybody works with him. Rookies, undrafted, drafted, Doug Baldwin, everybody works for him. Tom Brady, seemingly nobody works for him except Edelman. He's furious, and I love Tom, but I've seen this a little bit with Aaron. You get wealthy, and you have a Super Bowl ring, and it's very easy in life that you get a little more rigid. Some of this New England receiver issue, is it fair to say, hey, Russell Wilson works with everybody, Tom, you got to lighten up a little bit here.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I'm going to steal some from Steve Young, working with him all those years at ESPN and just talking to him about greatness. You know, I never experienced greatness as a player. And to hear Steve talk about sometimes that rigid nature, that linear thinking that, hey, we have to do it perfect all the time, and I'm going to drag you there over my dead body mentality, is what allows these guys to be great. And I think in one breath you can say, yeah, Tom's showing some get off my lawn to him personality, but that's probably also over the years what's made him the GOAT. Is that he is just going to, over my dead body, I'm going to drag you and you're going to run it to the millimeter right and your head's going to be perfect and you're going to see the field like I see it. And if it doesn't happen, we're going to go back on Monday and reteach it and do it again. I'm going to hold you to a standard that nobody's ever held you to. I can appreciate that as well, because that's why he's going to go down as the greatest of all time. And everybody else needs to jump on board and say, you know what, I am going to do it Tom's way because he knows best.
Finally, I don't want to be old, stubborn. What did you say, get off my lawn guy? I have finally, even though they still have a chance, I have given up on the Philadelphia Eagles. You were mad at me. I was your verbal punching bag. You called it. The Eagles are, I don't even care that the Eagles could win the division. Joey and I said this a couple weeks ago. You can be a bad team, but well coached. Miami's not great. They're well coached. What did you spot with Philadelphia early that I was stubborn on for about, 8 weeks?
The quarterback doesn't play the same discipline he played with a couple years ago. They don't have the same bigs, especially on the defensive line. And that was concerning. And then they don't have any twitch in their passing game. They don't have any beep beep. They don't have anything that can scare you. They're big body possession guys. It's hard to score a lot of points in the NFL if you don't have guys that can play beyond the X's and O's. And basically, offensive and defensively, they're going to be a product of their X's and O's. They don't have a lot of ceiling above that. That's what I saw early. And it is really fun to be right against you at times, too. I'm going to start rubbing in a little bit more.
Yeah, those opportunities happen so rarely. You really have to take advantage, Trent, when they happen. Decade and a half, Super Bowl, Pro Bowl. Buddy, good talking to you.
Thanks, partner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app. And now, Colin will decide if a team is headed for the playoffs.
Playoffs?
Or taking off for vacation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please turn yourself in securely.
It's playoff or takeoff.
All right, let's start with the Buffalo Bills. Playoff or takeoff?
I think we saw what they do against Dallas. I say it's a playoff team.
Playoffs?
Yeah. They're only one game back in New England. They play excellent defense. Their schedule's not easy. They're at the, they got to go to the Steelers. They got to go to the Patriots. They play the Ravens. But I think this is a well-coached team. They don't make a lot of mistakes. Josh Allen has maybe the best arm in the NFL. If you put every quarterback in the NFL at the goal line and said, throw it as far as you can, I think Josh Allen wins. They figured out how to use Cole Beasley. This is a playoff team. This is not only a playoff team, it's a playoff team capable of going on the road as a wild card team and taking the ball away from a Kansas City and beating somebody.
All right, the Cleveland Browns, playoff or takeoff?
What do they do well? I'd say they're a takeoff team.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Coach, going to get fired. Right now, Baker Mayfield, last in passer rating, last in completion percentage. They're most penalty yards. And, at this point, I do think they did find their offensive identity in the last few weeks. They're more of a run power team, but they don't do enough things well. Also, they have to play Baltimore. They have to win all four games, and they beat Baltimore and they play them again. They're not beating Baltimore a second time, so they're done.
How about the Colts, playoff or takeoff?
Hate to say it, I love the organization. This is a takeoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Yeah, they've lost four or five games. They have very little margin of error without Andrew Luck. Jacoby Brissett, I do believe, is a franchise guy, but he's a lower-end franchise guy. Andrew Luck, great quarterbacks allow you a larger margin of error. You can have a lot of penalties. You can have a lot of turnovers. They have to play perfect football to win. And they got to go to New Orleans. That, to me, is a tough game. They got to go to Tampa. That could be a shootout. So I think they're done.
How about the Oakland Raiders? We were so high on them for a couple weeks. Playoff or takeoff?
Yeah, that's a takeoff, too.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
Again, 31st in penalties. Young football team, heavily penalized. They're not a very good defensive team. And if you look at their schedule, they have to play Tennessee. And I frankly think Tennessee now is suddenly up. You know, Tennessee ends every year 9-7. We all know Tennessee's going to be 9-7, so they need a couple more wins to accomplish that. And I think the Raiders are a better story now than they are as a December football team.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, playoff or takeoff?
Mike Tomlin could be coach of the year, but it's a takeoff to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
6 touchdowns in 5 games. They're doing this on culture, on toughness, good offensive line. They just don't have the weapons. They're 1-4 against teams with winning records. So, again, you can be, I think they're well coached. I think they're well run. But, boy, you talk about a team that doesn't, no margin for error. They just don't have any pop offensively right now at all.
The Tennessee Titans, playoff or takeoff?
Now, I'm going to go playoff here.
Playoffs?
Do you know that Ryan Tannehill has the highest passer rating in the NFL since he started? Again, people are now gathering film on the Titans with Ryan Tannehill. So they have Miami Dolphins stuff, but they don't have Tennessee Titans stuff with Ryan Tannehill. Remaining schedule at Oakland, Houston at home, New Orleans at home, and then at Houston. I think they go 3-1 there. And they've won 5 of 6 with Tannehill. I think players know things.
You think they'll go 3-1?
I do. I think they'll split with Houston, beat the Raiders, and beat the Saints at home.
Because you said 9-7, right? So that's 2-2.
Oh, they're going to go 10-6.
That's not what they do. They go 9-7.
Tannehill's the extra win.
Okay.
See, because the Saints have it wrapped up now.
Well,
so
they
may start, there's no urgency for the Saints. They go on the road. I think they beat them at home.
Okay, the L.A. Rams, playoff or takeoff?
Live in L.A., but that is a takeoff for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
They're 1-4 against winning teams. They humiliated Arizona. They have a great coach. But I think when you start looking at the way they match up with really good defensive fronts, there's limitations. I also just think, let's be honest about this, they got to go to Dallas to face Seattle. They're at San Francisco. Their schedule is absolutely brutal. I think Sean McVay will probably turn it somehow into a winning season. They're 7-5 right now. And that, for the record, it's not man overboard. They've got some elements I like. I love their weapons. I love their receivers, their tight ends. I think their defense is really good. They got the best corner in football, the best defensive lineman in football. Their linebackers are more athletic than I think last year's Super Bowl team. There's a lot to like. They don't have a first-round pick. They have got to get better guard, center, guard. Jared Goff needs interior line protection.
The Minnesota Vikings, playoff or takeoff?
That's a playoff team. I thought they were really good last night. Didn't have Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook. That's a very good football team. I think they sweep the rest of their games. And, I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, but it's unfair to say I don't like Kirk Cousins. I do like Dak. I think they're comparable talents. I like Dak more because he's more of an athlete. But I think it's a very good football team. I think Mike Zimmer's a great coach. Vegas considers Mike Zimmer one of the top three coaches. So I like him. I think Minnesota's a playoff team. And, again, that's a team. If you're Green Bay and you win your division, or you're New Orleans and win your division, and Minnesota comes to town,
no, I mean you should. They have a great team. I just think it comes down to the clutch moments.
Would you be shocked if they went on the road in the playoffs and went on the road first round and dominated somebody? You'd be like, yeah, that's I could totally.
Dominated. I would be shocked. Yes.
I don't think I would. I think they're going to go to Lambeau in 3 weeks and knock out the Packers.
Well, they have Lambeau at home. Sorry, Vikings fans, I misspoke.
Oh, they
about
did.
That, actually.
It is
yes,
in Minnesota.
Freaking out.
They're going to blow them
They're
out.
They're actually going to have them at home. I still think Green Bay wins that game. All right, Philadelphia Eagles, playoff or takeoff?
Takeoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking.
So they don't even beat bad teams anymore. And now one thing Trent Dilfer said and Greg Cosell said, Greg said they're the slowest offense in the NFC. And Trent Dilfer said it a different way. He said there's just no twitch athletes. They have big possession receivers. You got to have people. You saw it last night with – you've seen it with Deshaun Watson. You've seen it with Russell Wilson. Sometimes you just have to have a guy that makes people miss. You can't draw up every successful play. And they just don't have guys that make people miss. And I think they're going to lose a couple games in their schedule here. You know, I think Dallas is going to beat them up in Philadelphia.
Well, speaking of that, Dallas Cowboys, playoff or takeoff?
I think they're a playoff team, and here's
playoffs.
Why. I think Dak Prescott's a good leader, and I think Dak will right the ship. I was listening to some comments he said this morning. We didn't put him on the show. I think Dak will figure it out, and I think he'll right it. I think they'll win the division. I think they're actually remarkably healthy for this time of the year. God, between the Ravens and the Cowboys, like, everybody is healthy. That just doesn't happen. So I think this team's going to turn it around. You know, for the record, they are number one in offense, and they're number one in yards per play, which is historically a huge playoff number. Like, if you got to pop, you got, this is a team, by the way, that's got guys that can pop.
Yeah.
Get the ball to him, Zeke pops. Amari Cooper pops. So I think the Dallas Cowboys are a playoff team. I don't. John, excuse me, with your smart Alex snarky comment.
I'm just wondering why they're 6-6 then if they're so good.
Well,
Gula, you're a Cowboys fan.
You're very cynical.
Not this year, I'm not.
Yeah. So, John,
you're off the bandwagon this year?
John, in the morning meetings, is anytime we say anything nice about the Cowboys, John sits to my right and he's like, yeah, that'd be nice if they could do that. I'm almost tired of it, but I find it so entertaining that.